This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The battle for control of a fortress near the northern Afghan town of Mazar-e-Sharif is in its third day, with U.S. airstrikes helping Northern Alliance fighters gain the upper hand. Pakistani, Chechen, and other non-Afghan soldiers supporting the Taliban staged an uprising in the mud-walled facility over the weekend. Hundreds of fighters on both sides are believed to have been killed since then. NPR's Lawrence Sheets is in Mazar-e-Sharif. Describe the bombing.
Well, the bombing overnight was very intense, and in contrast to the targeted strikes which we saw over the last 2 days, last night we saw waves of U.S. fighter planes come in very low, and bomb after bomb was dropped. There was flame rising from the fortress complex itself, 7 miles from here, clearly visible in the night sky, smoke rising from the fortress, loud explosions all night. We also had reports that there was an arms depot inside the fortress that had been hit, and as I said, there were loud explosions going on well through the night.
Any idea how effective that bombing might have been?
Well, it's actually quite difficult to say. With the intensity of the bombing, we thought we'd find little left today, but as we arrived this morning, there were still lots of gunfire coming from the Taliban supporter positions inside the prison. Some reports we had from Northern Alliance commanders were that the Taliban supporters, or mercenaries if you wish to call them, were reportedly shooting from trees inside the complex. We also had reports from some Alliance commanders that the battle was nearing a conclusion, that most of the Taliban had been eliminated, and that others were ready to surrender. But we've heard these types of claims for the last 2 days, and it's really difficult to know who to believe.
How are these foreign troops able to hold out?
Well, you have to understand the physical dimensions of this fortress complex. It's absolutely mammoth in size. It's several hundred yards long and a few hundred yards wide. The walls are 50 feet high. I had to be pulled up into the complex by rope by an Alliance soldier this morning. There are lots and lots of rooms. The fortress complex is divided into several sections. So while many of the Taliban supporters have clearly been killed, some have been able somehow to hold out in the catacomb-like dimensions of this place.
Is there a food supply?
We don't really know. We know that the fortress area was probably quite well stocked, being the headquarters of General Dostum. So we imagine if there were supplies of weapons, which there clearly were, which were commandeered by these Taliban supporters, then there were probably supplies of other things as well.
Five U.S. troops were wounded by a misdirected bomb. Are American special forces still involved in the fighting there?
Quite clearly they are. As a matter of fact, while we were standing outside the fortress complex this morning, several jeeps with U.S. special forces personnel as well as U.K. special forces personnel pulled up. There was a short confrontation between a large group of journalists and the special forces. One of the U.S. commanders told the journalists to stop filming, which they did not do, and there was a bit of shouting back and forth before the U.S. special forces acquiesced. Journalists continued to film. It was very interesting as the U.S. forces were dressed in different sorts of garb. Some of them had on what I would call uniforms. They had on khakis and were carrying M16 rifles, so on and so forth. Others had been dressed to look like locals. One was wearing what looked to be an Uzbek type robe, which is worn here quite often, and many of, if not most of, the special forces people involved had grown beards, but they were clearly identifiable by their speech, their American speech and British speech.
NPR's Lawrence Sheets in Mazar-e-Sharif.